welcome to this special 1 hour, Hope for the Hour. This is Pastor George Small, and I'm here in our studios of Reno FM. Going to spend the next 50 or so minutes with you, and I have a special guest with me in the studio this evening. But, you know, we've been trying to just encourage our listeners over the last few months, all that's going on in the world. And, you know, it's a changing situation, too. And tonight I've got a special guest, and we're going to have a different focus and topic, but a man that knows the Lord and a man that also has a story and a testimony that he can share with you tonight, and I think encourage you. And one of the things in our community locally that I've been praying about and am burdened by is the whole marijuana situation. I know our city, Fitchburg, is one of those cities that, you know, people voted in the majority to legalize the sale of recreational marijuana. And that's something that I'm just sad about, honestly. And I think a lot of people maybe voted thinking one thing and thinking a different thing. I know some pastors, I know at least one pastor that voted for it that was thinking of it in a different sense and not necessarily thinking about it being sold in our community. So anyway, we got it. But stores weren't opening because of the, you know, things going on in 2020, but now they're starting to open up in our community. And our city of 41,000 or 42 or whatever it is, I think they're going to open 8 recreational stores. And you might be listening and, okay, you're maybe already ready to hit the dial or whatever because that's just not an issue for you or concern. But I'm burdened by it. And I have a man here who's got quite a story in his life. He heads up in our church the ministry that we do for those that are struggling with addiction. His name is Isaac Ramos. And Isaac has, you know, a journey like a lot of people do, where God got a hold of him and pulled him out of a tough life, including a life of addiction. And now he's able to minister to people with addiction. And I am burdened by marijuana because of the potential that is there for that, you know, the young people in our community and so forth. So tonight, as we get started, I just want to introduce Isaac and have him share a little bit with you about his story and testimony. And, well, Isaac, welcome to Renew FM.
Happy to be here, Pastor.
Yeah, I know we've got our masks on. We continue to wear masks in the studio. And sometimes it works okay, and sometimes I feel like I'm trying to catch my breath as I'm talking. But the world we're in, different world. And but Isaac, it's just a great blessing to have you here in the studio with me. And I'd like, you know, Isaac, share with our radio audience. There are a lot of Christians that have stories like you, but just share some of your stories you feel led. And I think it's something that we're going to be able to then just share other truths and encourage our audience at this time. But, you know, Isaac, your story.
Thank you for the privilege to be here and share with the audience. Well, it's, my life is a long story, you know, of sin, drug addiction, no supervision. I was born in the island Puerto Rico, and I remember I just met my father a few times, and I never had no supervision. I was already locked up at the age of 13, and I remember my mother wanted to come to the States, and so she requested the judge to release me because she was leaving, and she didn't want to leave me behind. And but they granted it, but I wasn't able to go back to Puerto Rico mm-hmm. until I completed my 18th birthday, and so I never went back. I had never been back to that island again. Thinking that, you know, I mean, I could have been dead if I would have, you know, go back. But I thank God. I mean, I end up in New Jersey in the ghettos and with the wrong kids and stuff like that. And addiction came early. I was smoking marijuana, doing acid, you know, mm-hmm. as a teenager. And then at the age of 17, I started shooting heroin mm-hmm. straight up. And then I was just going out of my mind since then, and it was all in and out of jail, and from that point on, and abusing people, being abused, and that's what the life in the street is all about. Mm-hmm. Some kids think that that is fun, I guess, but it is at the beginning, but what's behind it is just horror, you know. It's death, incarceration, and whatnot, pain, suffering. Mm-hmm. And I I have to say that I had lived a hard life. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the beginning when I my first sentence was 10 years in prison in New Jersey for mm-hmm. an armed robbery. I was only 18 years old. And I remember I was in and out of the hole for fighting. I would get out and fight and go back to the hole. And a year went by, and I started thinking, this is what life is all about. This is it. So I didn't know how to speak English or anything like that. So I remember the last time I got out, I decided to go to school. And it was an old black folk that... he was the principal of the school. Mm-hmm. So I went up to him and I asked him, can I get in school? And they put me in with the Spanish people and stuff like that. But I wasn't learning anything there. So 2 weeks later, I went back to him. I said, no, I want you to put me with the blacks and the whites over there, mm-hmm. you know. And he took me under his wing, and 3 years I got my GED.
Well, that's awesome.
So while everybody had TVs and radios on their cell, I have books. I used to read like a maniac and educated myself like that. And then I started thinking about God. I wanted to learn about life. And so I became a Muslim because at that time when I was in jail down there, that was the dominant religion mm-hmm. in jail. So I got caught in that. I was Muslim for about a year or so. And then I wanted to be a Jew. I mean, I was just searching for the truth. I just wanted to know about the meaning of life and why things were going on like the way they were. But then I started reading the Bible. But you couldn't talk to me about Jesus. To this day, I find it really weird. You know, I will stop just at the end of the Old Testament, and I would not read after that. Mm. But today I thank God for that, because that word went in my heart, and it took me a long time to realize what I was missing until I almost took a life right here in Fitchburg. And I found myself in a cold cell in Concord State Prison, awaiting trial for intent to murder. The man, he was in a coma. And I remember, like yesterday, I threw myself on the floor and I said, God, is Jesus, is who he is. I want him in my life. I had done everything that I thought it would get me out of this mess, and nothing changed. And 6 months later, they released me because the man had got out of the coma and went and robbed a jewelry store, I think. And so he was a wanted man as well, so he couldn't appear to court. But I like to think there was a God thing. Mm-hmm. And so I got released, and I remember I went back to jail, I think, 3 times after that. And on the third time, I remember they gave me 60 days in the House of Correction in Worcester, and it was like 60 years to me. I was getting old, tired. God was already working in my life in such a way that I even renounced the Lion King gang that I was into, and then I started praying for my enemies because I knew what was going to happen and stuff like that. But anyways, and then I got a picture, a card with some pictures of my little girl from her mother, telling me that she didn't want the little girl to know, go around without knowing her father. And so I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't want to go and mess up this lady's life again, and especially the little girl, and just please help me out. But I went out, and we got together, and It's funny because they all Catholic, and I used to read the Bible to her every night. And about a month and a half later, I said, listen, I'm going to find me a church where we can both attend, you know, a Bible-believing church. And I did, and we were there 5 years. I became a deacon after 2 years, and she was in the choir and stuff like that, and everything was going well. And until I think it was 2012, for some reason, I don't know, after 5 years, she started getting these evil thoughts about, you know, with women, that she was even willing to share me with that, you know what I mean? So as a man from the street, you know, I said, wait a minute, I got to think about that, you know? But soon enough, the next day, the Holy Spirit was working, and I said, listen, I can't do that. You know what I mean? We Christians, you know what I mean? And, God has a plan for us, and also the enemy has a plan for us. And his plan was to destroy the family and what God was doing. And I guess he succeeded on that, you know, but that was just one battle. I almost lost it. I thank God that, you know, he took the urge of drugs from me. And that's something that I never thought about it again. And I thank him for that. And actually, I thought that I had made it to where I needed to be. And it was like the Holy Spirit saying to me, like, no, no. You know, now you can think and now you can see what a horrible person you are. And I have to tell you that the struggles, I thought that the struggle of heroin and drug addiction and in and out of jail was horrendous. But when you're trying to do the right thing and live a righteous life and raise your kids the right way, and all these wonderful things, is a battle. I think sometimes I rather get beat up by 10 men than going through the struggles that and the things that are going on around the world today. You know, the Bible says that at the end times that, you know, they're going to call evil good and good evil. And I was talking to the guys in Freedom in Christ last night that it is amazing thing. God wrote about this so many years ago, and we are living it. It's right on our face. And it's hard for me to sometimes think that you can't see that. You know what I mean? But then again, the enemy has these ways of blinding people. I mean, the things are right in your face and you can see it. Mm-hmm. And so I thank God today that it took me a long time to realize who God was. I mean, I know that it was in my doing. He himself had chosen to not only save me, but reveal himself to me in the way that he has. You know, and I can honestly say, like the song says, that I see God every day in different ways, you know, in different things, in nature, you know, the sun, the moon. Sometimes I just be quiet and I can hear him speaking to me in an amazing way, you know, and I just love the Lord. I this desire of helping those that are going through the same things that I used to, it's been in my heart for a while. And the Bible says that, you know, if you delight in the Lord, that he will give you the desires of your heart and those desires that he put in your heart. And it's amazing. I know that when we started, when you guys put this together and stuff like that, I try to get it through the courts so that someone else might have a chance to come. And but I was shut down. I was supposed to, I went to talk to the sheriff's office, and they told me that, they couldn't do that because they can't force nobody to go to a religious meeting. So, but God works in amazing ways. So Brandon Shank came to the meeting, and he was on probation, and he went to court, and he met this guy in court that heads this program called Diversion Program. His name is Mike. And so Brandon talked to him about it, and he was impressed about the program, so he came to see us. And he visited us, and he came twice, and he was pretty impressed that he put it on his list for the people that he's helping through the court. And there has been one, two, I think four people that he has sent to Freedom in Christ. So
praise God.
God works in mysterious ways. It's not always the way we want,
right,
but it's the same result that we would want. I just amazed at what God is doing, not only with my life, but through my life. It's amazing that he can use somebody, one of the chief sinners on this world, and just clean them up and use them for his will and purpose. It's amazing. I just stand back sometimes when I'm praying, or when I'm just in the meetings with the guys, and especially those that are hurting, and I just thank God so much for the opportunity to be able to encourage those that are, you know, suffering in silence sometimes because they're ashamed to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And so those meetings are awesome because it's a place where you can open up. I love the way the Spirit do it. You know what I mean? You just say one word, and the Spirit just take over, and then everybody else is just start sharing, and a lot of things going on, and I just love it.
Amen. Well, you know, Isaac, thank you for sharing your story, and I know you left out a ton of details, but you gave us the gist of it. And, you know, you're listening to Renew FM. This is George Small. I've got Isaac Greenwald with me in the studio here. And Isaac was just sharing his story, you know, growing up in Puerto Rico to a point, but already in jail, already, you know, missing a father figure, all the struggles. Ending up in New Jersey, ending up in the gang life, ending up in prison a lot. I remember, Isaac, when I first met you, it wasn't the first met you, but at some point when you started to attend the church here, you brought your rap sheet, you know, I guess that's what you call it, right? You know, you brought your rap sheet,
yeah,
and you just wanted me to know who you were. And honestly, it's like an encyclopedia. It just got so many pages of arrest
yeah,
and crimes and all that. And yeah, you've been done that a lot. But God's gotten a hold of your life. I know you were telling the story even then, following Christ, the battles, and I know your marriage, as you had mentioned, some of the stuff that was going on, and then that marriage is even, you know, now ended too, and you know, it ended because of the things that you were talking about. And then that was all before I ever knew you. But you ended up, you know, still persevering, seeking the Lord, and now you're remarried, and now you're heading up a ministry in this church. And wow, you got a lot of pain, you know, a lot of the evil of the world, you know, a lot of the mercy of God and the
Amen.
Grace of God. And you have all those things that you can offer people that are just struggling, man. You've been down in the pit. I mean, we all have in one way or another, but you've been there. Down in the hole, you kept referring to, you know, in yeah, the cell, you know, and even getting in trouble. It sounded like while you're in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, but, and then addiction, just all of that. And yet you've got Christ and the freedom in Christ. So that's what you head up on Sunday nights here at the church. And by chance, if you're listening and you're looking for a ministry like that, or you know somebody that could use a ministry like Freedom in Christ, you know, meets at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock here at our church in Fitchburg at 356 Broad Street. And you're welcome to come. We've got
Amen.
A good group that comes, and there's Isaac and a couple other men with him that have come out of various, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever, and now are ministering to people, and God is using it. And so you're very welcome. 356 Broad Street, Horizon Christian Fellowship, 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, and it's Freedom in Christ.
Amen.
But you know, as we began too, I'm glad to have you here in the studio too, just to talk with you, because I'm a burden for our city. We prayed a lot that these marijuana recreational stores wouldn't come to Fitchburg, and a community, it's already a community that's known for, you know, struggling with drugs, and it's got a drug world in it, and prostitution too, and we even, you know, petitioned the city government that they would even limit to the what they could do as far as opening stores, and they wanted to just allow the maximum number of stores. And, you know, saying, hey, people voted it in, so they want to make the money off of it, the revenue. So 8 stores, a city of 41, 42,000 people, 8 recreational stores.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money, yeah. So I you know, marijuana, I just want you to speak to that. You know, what's happening with that and whatever, as God leads you.
Well, marijuana, you know, people think that, you know, I got a son that's smoking. And I trying to talk to him and open his eyes about this. Marijuana is something that, you know, especially all the chemicals that it comes with. That's how kids start. That's how I started. And it's just like an initiation to other things, you know what I mean? And the thing about drugs is that it messes your with your mind. It leaves that door wide open for a lot of crazy things to come in. I talked to my son about it, and I know when he's high. And I mean, I know all about this, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is that when he's not, he listens to me, and he also responds to me. When he's high, he just listen and just, yeah, pop, yeah, and that's all he say. Because he can't think of anything else. I don't think he's listening to me, but my wife, they said that it's a plant, and so, you know, heroin is a plant as well. So,
yeah.
But what's going on here, you know, this is something that, you know, you want this and they grant this, and then you want something else.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And besides, you know, we know the word. I can see the enemy in all these doing damage to families.
Right.
Small children. I, you know, I have a lot of information about all kinds of different drugs at my house,
mm-hmm.
and marijuana is a drug. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It alters the way you think,
mm-hmm.
and everything that alters the way you think is not good. And the thing about marijuana, I don't know, you know, you have even the government officials smoking it and promoting it. And it's something that is going to be hard to kind of like shut down if it's ever possible now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, you know, we're watching our society step by step, you know, just we had some guardrails there and we're just kicking one over, then kick over another one and another one. And no, it isn't like the sky falls at that moment, but you begin to allow something that starts to spread, and a disease ultimately grows in our nation. You know, you mentioned marijuana in your own life, that it's where you started as a young man. And we often say that, you know, those of us that have been opposed to allowing it. Now, obviously, using it medically, that's one thing. We have medicine that we use in our hospitals, though, that we don't allow sold on the street, you know.
Right.
So if you use it medically, okay, I'm not going to argue against any sort of it, whatever, you know, pharmaceutical plant or whatever that helps you medically. But when you sell it recreationally, and it's now available to anybody who just gives an idea and wants to just do it, you mentioned how in your life, that's where you started. And we say that. We often say that it's like the gateway drug, you know.
Yeah.
You start with that. And it's not everybody that does that, but it is for many people that are doing heroin out on the street. A lot of them, you ask them,
yeah,
You know what? Well, I was in high school smoking marijuana, you know, and I didn't intend to do heroin. You know, I didn't go out, well, I'm going to go do heroin and become a heroin addict on the streets of Fitchburg.
Right.
But it started with marijuana, and that's the point you're making.
Yeah.
And for you, it went from that, and then you started doing heroin at some point. And so I personally don't, you know, I got all kinds of other problems, when, especially when I was younger, too, but smoking stuff, I just didn't get into it. So I struggled with everything else, but but so I've never really had that struggle with, addiction to chemicals.
Yeah.
But you make an interesting point, because as an outsider, it does seem to alter the way people, we've said that for decades, you know what I mean? you talk about the stoner, the stoner is just somebody smoking pot and he's just like, he's not too clever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just zoned out. He's just not too clever.
No, he's not.
And you know, what is it doing? And crazy, it's all about money, so that's why we're doing this. You know, it was really the people that were promoting it didn't so much promote it as money. It was more, hey, let's get people, not so many people thrown in jail, and let's, you know, limit that, and let's do that. And all, here we go. The medical purpose, you know, all with people behind it trying to steer it to make some a lot of money, and they're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, too, that at this hour in our land, you know, once it's going, how do you, that's the other thing. Once we start doing things, it's so hard to undo them.
Yeah.
And then the dilemma then is for young people all around this community and other communities that where this is now, just say, you know, how many young people are going, well, it's legal. You know, what I mean?
And you have the parents doing it.
Right.
So they tell the kids it's okay. And if you say, you know, it's not, you're a horrible person, you know what I mean? And it's amazing how people sometimes look at you when you mention anything about God concerning anything. I remember when I first got saved, I was with my little girl. We were in the store, and I never taught my children about Santa Claus. You know what I mean? I know that I'm gonna sound horrible on radio, but this lady in the store said, "What kind of a father are you that you don't want your kids to know about Santa Claus?" I said, because it's a lie. Why you want me to tell my kids a lie? And then, they're going to know this. It's not real. I mean, but this lady, I just want to make a point that this lady just went nuts on me in the store about that.
Yeah.
And so is with, anything that they doing nowadays, whether it's marijuana or any other thing that you kind of like point the finger on and say, "Hey, that's wrong," and they don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you know, it's the human heart from the very beginning, isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's just the human heart. And I just want to use the opportunity as we're turning on our microphones here in our studio, speaking to New England, speaking to the church, speaking words of hope, and just speaking to what's happening, and having you in our church doing what you're doing, and then what's happening in our city at the same time concurrently right now. I thought, well, let's get on the radio airwaves and just be another voice. That's the opportunity we get with Renew FM. We can be another voice because there's so many other voices.
Yes.
And it's being spun so many times another way that we have the opportunity with the network of radio stations to go on and just say, here's some more things to it. So we're going to be going to a break. And we're going to come back, and let's talk a little bit about it biblically too. You know, what you would say to maybe young people today about it. You know, you have the group on Sunday nights, and even the word, right, pharmakia. We can talk a little bit about that, and just we'll talk a little bit more about it after the break. And well, you're listening to Renew FM again. This is George Small. I've got with me in the studio here Isaac Ramos. He heads up the program here in Fitchburg, Freedom in Christ. And as he was sharing, he's got a long story of, like so many, just with the prison, drugs, gangs, and so forth. And the Lord got a hold of his heart, and now he's ministering to people. And so we're just spending some time here. We're going to come right back here in about 2 minutes after the break. Again, you're listening to Renew FM.
Amen.
Your time. This is your wife, Ellen, reminding you about dinner tonight at 6 o'clock with your son, Jeremy, and daughter, Shelley. Repeat, that's dinner with your family tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Are you becoming a stranger to your family? Ever feel like you're so busy that your family, which is supposed to be one of your highest priorities, really just gets the leftovers of your time? If it keeps up over the years, you start to feel like you hardly even know your family. It's easy to say, well, I just don't have the time. But when it comes down to it, we always find ways of making time for the things and people that are most important to us. You watch a few hours of TV each night? There's a little time. How about sports and hobbies? There could be a little time in there, too. And if you can cut back on your hours at work, by all means, do it. Otherwise, you could find yourself a little alienated from the most important people in your life.
Your wife, Ellen. Your son, Jeremy. And daughter, Shelley.
Renew FM.
Well, welcome back to the second half hour of Hope for the Hour, this program that started back in late March. And we have talked with you, many pastors we've interviewed and missionaries and so forth. And tonight on Renew FM, I have a special guest. His name is Isaac Ramos. And Isaac, I felt led to just sit down and talk with him over the radio airwaves because of his story. Like many people, you know, a man that didn't have much of a father figure in his life, as he had mentioned, growing up in Puerto Rico. But just prison, drugs, from marijuana to heroin, to the gang life, Latin Kings, to just a lot of prison and arrest. And then getting close to going away for even life, for murder, and told a little bit of the story how the man survived, and then he was actually released. And then married, now becoming a Christian and trying to follow the Lord, and that's not easy either necessarily in a fallen world, but it's a good life. And then just the struggles that happened even then, as he shared, you know, his marriage and just what happened. But now, years later, he's part of our ministry here in Fitchburg and heads up our Addicts Ministry, Freedom in Christ, to those that are struggling with addiction. And man, does he have a lot to just say to people, a lot of encouragement, talking about being able to speak with empathy or conviction, personal experience. Isaac certainly, he can tell you all about the streets, all about drugs, all about all these prison. He can tell you all about it. And so I wanted to interview Isaac also because our community, and it's something that just happened in our country, we're watching our culture just change directions with a progressive liberal sort of agenda. And that now concludes the legalization of recreational marijuana. And I thought, you know, and I'm just being honest, it makes me sad that our cities, we're going to open here in Fitchburg 8 stores. And what's that going to mean from young people in the years ahead here? And as Isaac shared, he started with marijuana when he was young and eventually was doing heroin. And it's pretty much for people that do heroin, not everyone that does marijuana does heroin, but the people who get to heroin, very often they started with marijuana. And for there are certain individuals that is a gateway for them. And as Isaac was sharing about marijuana, that, you know, it alters the way you think, as he mentioned, even somebody he cares about, he ministers to. When he's not high, the conversation is one way. When he's high, he can't talk the same. He's just not all there.
No.
And, you know, there you go. So medical marijuana, different situation, but the legalization of recreational marijuana. You know, the church is listening. There are certainly people that aren't, have an opinion. And as a Christian pastor in Fitchburg, you know, my opinion is, why do we want people to potentially come addicted to this, though we can make money off of it, and then even stumble into greater things? Why do we want to do that? And that's the problem. You take alcohol, yeah, we can't make that illegal, but it's true with alcohol. You know, a lot of people can drink alcohol and don't get in too much trouble, but a lot of people, it just has ruined their families. It has ruined generations of families. And so same thing with marijuana. It has, especially today, it's a lot more potent than it used to be too. But anyway, Isaac, we got the church here. What, you know, what sort of scriptures, you know, let's talk the Word of God. What would you say to a believer right now who maybe is listening? You know, they're 19 years old and they don't see an issue with it. And how would you encourage them with just the truth at this point?
Well, the truth is that, you know, any substance that you put in your body, you know, we got to remember that us. The scriptures tell us that our body is the temple of God. We are to keep it pure and clean. And then when it comes to drugs and any type of addiction that is disturbing, that is not good. I know that you know, the hard drugs, people talk about hard drugs, okay, I'm not going to do this and do that, but marijuana is still the drugs, pills is still the drugs. I remember the last time I ever smoked marijuana, I was driving, and I was with this girl, and we stopped at a red light, and I was so out of my mind that the light changed to green, and I am still stuck there. Until she punched me and on my chest, I said, "You got to move." You know what I mean? So, but I know that what marijuana can do to you. I mean, you can tell me any story you want, but I know. Biblically, I know that anything that damages your body, whether it's your mind, your lungs, any body part, is just not good, because our body is supposed to be the temple of God. I know I'm speaking to those that know the word, and still struggling with addiction or some kind, whether it's eating. I had talked to people that had this eating disorder. Other disorders that they just damage your relationship with the Lord. But you know, the issue with drugs is something that is in our culture, and they protect that with their teeth. And it's amazing to me how parents can agree to that. I hear so many horrible stories, and you know, I talk to a lot of people about these things, their children, especially those parents that want the best for their children. They don't want them to go that way or their route, or, you know, like I tell mine, I say, listen, this is not good. So I try and raise minds the way that they should go. But it's hard sometimes, because most of the time they learn it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And because I remember about heroin, hard drugs, I didn't want to do that, so I just choose to smoke weed. But eventually it led me to higher levels of ecstasy. And when you open your mind to that, it's crazy. I mean, I remember that I had this weird, I guess I can call it nightmares. Every time I got high, I would see myself on a motorcycle. We took shotguns just blasting cops. Yeah, and horrible. And I mean, I'm saying that because I know about these drugs and what the things that make you think, you know what I mean? And I know who's behind it as well. As Christians, we know that when you do that, the enemy has this amazing power and ability to use that in the worst way. And that's why you see a lot of murderers, and usually they high on something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or possessed with something like that, but I mean, the situation with drugs is not a good thing in any way you want to see it.
Well, again, you're listening to Renew FM, and this is George Small, and I've got Isaac Ramos with me. And if you've just tuned in, Isaac shared the first half hour. You're welcome to go to renewfm.org in the future. I don't know how long it takes before we have it posted, but it'll be posted. You can hear the first half hour of this, hope for the hour. But he shares his story, so he's a man that can tell you a whole lot about drugs and drug addiction and all of the crimes he's committed in prison and everything. He could just tell you a lot about that until he came to the Lord and God really got a hold of his heart. And now he even heads up a ministry to addiction and people struggling with that in our community. So, but, you know, talking about marijuana, you explaining from your experience, I can't explain it that way. I can give you my opinion, and I agree with you that it is my opinion. But as you're saying, you know, it's doing something, it did something in you that after time, you didn't want to do the greater drugs, but then you started to do them. And
right.
It's true, we're to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. We're to have one master, be mastered by the Holy Spirit as Christians. I definitely don't believe you can be mastered by getting a buzz on drugs, you know what I mean, and getting high and be under the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Those two don't go together.
No.
And so as soon as I turn to something else, that, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace, you know, all the wonderful things of we have as Christians as the Holy Spirit. And as soon as I'm like, no, that's not enough, or I'm not experiencing that because of whatever reason,
you go, well,
now I'm trying to get some sort of chemical to do it in my head. Well, you are definitely opening your life to the, you're making a decision, you're turning towards something that can become a real problem, and you're turning away from, you know, again, we're talking recreational here, we're not talking medical, because that's a different world.
Yeah.
And we have all kinds of drugs that we use in our hospitals, and we need them, and you need to go to the doctor when you're sick and so forth. But it's another thing to do it recreationally and to do it on the streets.
It's funny how they mask it as recreational. I just dislike that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, it should be destructive. Seductive, I mean, and destructive, or
you
whatever.
You know, they use these clever words to mask seen as, if you will, or things that are not good for anybody.
Now, it is interesting in the Bible, we say it, and it is fascinating. It's just fascinating that in the Greek and the New Testament, you know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. In Galatians chapter 5, you have Paul talking about the flesh, but he says idolatry. These are the fruits of the old man, the old nature, the fallen nature. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. And he goes on in the list, but idolatry, sorcery, hatred. The word there for sorcery, or in the King James, the word is translated witchcraft. The Greek word is pharmakia.
Yeah.
And the Greek word is pharmakia because, and it means literally, it speaks of medicine or medication in the sense of magic. And it is true in the occult, pharmakia. When you get into sorcery, right. You know, as they did back in the days of the New Testament, there was often drugs are involved, pharmakia. And I do think that you were making that point about even some of the things that you would think that were very evil.
Right.
You know what I mean? And your thought life. And I think that's true when you start opening yourself up.
Yeah, go ahead. When I was growing up in Puerto Rico, there was a lot of sorcery, a lot of, you know, and they drink these potions,
mm-hmm.
you know, to enter this other world, and that's what you do when you use drugs. You enter into another zone, you know what I mean? I know that. You know, at some point, you know, you feel good, you feel relaxed, or whatever it might be, but you really are entering into a zone that, you know, is going to take you places where you don't want to be, and stay longer than you want to stay, and spend more than you ever, you know, want to spend. So, and it costs you a lot.
Right.
Sometimes it costs you your life.
Right.
And we see these things happening. We know the experiences, and we still promote it some way, somehow. Mm-hmm. And it's like we said before, all for the money, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? In our culture today, we want to hold the pharmaceutical companies accountable. So there's a commercial on TV. This is the law. You know, here's a drug. Then they have the real quick, like, here's all the bad things that happen when you take this drug. And, you know, the drug obviously has some sort of constructive, helpful purpose, potentially because of somebody's disease. But, hey, you need to know, here's the backside of the paper. You know, here's the stuff you got to watch out for. Some people are going to take this. And we do that with that. But what we're doing today with so many things that are clearly destructive, we won't tell the other side of the story.
No.
We're just going to tell you, like, hey, make a lot of money. Hey, recreational, and we're just not going to tell you the others. And why wouldn't we just do the same? Why wouldn't we get right out there?
And it's like I look at my life, and you know, the enemy, you know, never told me about the hard times and the suffering. Every time the urge came, it just showed me the good times, you know what I mean? And you remember the good times, but you don't remember the suffering that you went through, the sickness that you went through, and all that to get it. And now, you know, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And that, you know, take you nowhere, and, you know, either jail or the grave. And if God have mercy on you, you know, some short days of life.
Yeah. So, you know, you're listening again to Renew FM, and I am George Small. I've got Isaac Ramos here with me, and Isaac heads up ministry here in Fitchburg, Freedom in Christ, helping people out of the life of addiction. And he's got a team with him, and they minister here in Fitchburg at 356 Broad Street at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. So I wanted to bring him on and just talk to the hour, because this hour we live in the world, too, so many things are going on, so many things are changing. And in the same time, in our local community here, a lot of these recreational pot shops are opening up, and I even go on prayer walks, and I pray against them, you know, because it just burdens my heart. But I thought we'd get on the radio and just talk. You're listening. And maybe you're somebody that's just younger, and you have that younger mindset about freedom, and, you know, this sounds old-fashioned, and yet you're still listening, and you think it's, you know, like an older man sort of thing, and we're, you know, whatever, we're just clueless. But I do think, as you're listening, if you listen sincerely to Isaac, and especially listen to the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, as he's explaining marijuana, you know, it's like the bait, isn't it? It's like the fish bait. On the outside, it looks one way. The story's told one way. And it all appears one way. And it might taste good the first bite or two. But there's a hook in it. And there's a hook that can hook you. And once it hooks you, now, unfortunately, if you're trying to follow Christ, you're dependent, you're being influenced by something else rather than the Holy Spirit. And then if you continue, who knows, the hook might even be a greater hook that takes you down further roads of just stuff you never even knew you'd get into. It's like you just opened the doorway and you let something in. You gave the enemy an opportunity to even establish a stronghold into your life. And that is a true story. You can maybe disagree, but that's just a true story. There's a man in our studio saying that's what happened to him, and we could get a long line into this studio of so many people. Mm. That is their story. They started what seemed innocent, and yet there was a hook in it, and it led him down such a road that it was so brutal and destructive. As we mentioned, pharmakia, New Testament Greek word, is the word for witchcraft or sorcery, and it's translated in the English. And I do think when you start going down the road of experimental drugs, going down the road of recreational drugs, anything after that, you're messing around with stuff you don't. It's darkness, ultimately. You're given your opportunity to open yourself up to darkness. And I do think that is true, and you've even affirmed that with your own personal experiences, what happened. And so we're just sharing the truth. We're trying to be here during this hour, as we mentioned. You know, the TV commercial will give you the, you know, new drug out there for whatever disease, but it always gives you the also, here's the bad things that can happen. And we're trying to also use the opportunity. They're not telling the other side the story. We've decided in our culture today, a lot of these things, we're just not going to tell you the other side. And Isaac.
I just want to point out, I know that some people might not like to hear about this. You know, I would like to talk to those in prison that are listening. I remember I used to listen in prison to a Christian radio station. Those that are in the street doing it, or even Christians that are still struggling with it. You know, I happen to have studied a little bit about how the enemy works in these areas, and this is all demonic. And I know some people don't like to hear, you know, this type of hard sayings, if you will, but it's a spiritual battle, and we have to understand that. And this is all the tools that the enemy has in his arsenal, you know, drugs, these other kinds of drugs, and you're talking about, you know, sorcery, and that's all it is. you are entering into darkness where you don't want to be if you knew. And so one of the points that I want to say or make is that we are in a spiritual battle for our souls. And the enemy is going to use anything that he can to bring you into that dark place where he can just, I guess, if you will, use you and abuse you. And through you do all kinds of other, you know, crazy things. But if you see these things the way that they really are, because, you know, I thank God that he opened my eyes, because I used to think that I was going to die like that. I had no hope. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything without that drugs. And it was in my brain that I was never going to stop. But, you know, I thank God that he had a plan for me, and he poured his grace and mercy on me, and just pulled me out of there and allow me to see clearly what was going on. And as I got into the Word and study, one of the main things that keep me put, I guess, is the Word of God. As you learn more of who God is and what he's at least trying to do in your life to prosper you, because it says in Jeremiah, right, he wants to prosper you. He wants to give you hope and a future. And sometimes we don't see that, you know, and I thank God for all the pain, all the sorrow, the sickness, everything that I went through, because today I find myself believing that there is a God that can do miracles. I tell that to some people sometimes. Listen, you always looking for a miracle? Look at me. You know, I stuck a needle in my arm for 35 years, and here I am. Now, am I standing on my own? Absolutely not. It is because of the grace and mercy of my God and, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ. But these drugs things, it's like a heavy chain on you that is so hard to break. And that's why I like to talk about, you know, Freedom in Christ. We put that, it's an awesome name for our ministry, because Christ is the only one can give you true freedom. And I love the ministry. I love gathering with the guys and girls that come to the meeting, and we talk about it. I mean, you know, we all in this together. We're struggling. We pray for each other. We encourage one another. When somebody's hurt, I mean, I get phone calls. Even one of my brothers a couple of weeks ago, one of the leaders, in tears, came to me, and we just pray, you know. Paul teaches us to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And so I cried with the brother, and it was an awesome time. We pray for each other, and it's just great. I just hope that people that are listening, that are struggling, will come and join us.
Amen. Amen. You know, we didn't really talk a lot about the different scriptures. We could talk about how to have victory in Christ. Really, tonight, Isaac, you've told your story, and that really is the message, meaning you came to Christ, and by having Christ in your life, you've had victory now. And
amen.
That is what did it for you. Ultimately, it was being a man who wanted to know the Lord and follow the Lord and reading the Bible and praying and being in church, and you know you've had victory over destructive addictions and haven't been to prison in a long, long time, and you know your God has changed your life, and so that's the message. Is here in the studio is a man who came out of all that, and he's sharing with you, our audience, what Jesus has done for him. And you might be listening and you might be struggling with addiction. You may have something that you know, maybe is a big deal or not such a big deal, but you know it is, and you want to get rid of it. And Freedom in Christ here at Sunday nights. Is there a number or a website or anything we use for Freedom in Christ, Isaac?
I have a website, but it seems like it's not the way it should be. I mean, I know I post things there, and I get responses from people, all kinds of people, and but I don't know how to put it like on a public platform.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you can call our church. I'll give you our church number here, and 978-665-9111. That's 978-665-9111. And you can leave a message if there's somebody not there to answer it. But if you leave a message or talk to somebody, Freedom Christ, we can give you more information on Sunday nights here in Fitchburg at 356 Broad Street. Again, you're listening to Renew FM. This is Pastor George Small, and I've had Isaac Ramos with me. And we'll be back tomorrow night with some more encouragement and another special guest. God bless you.
Amen.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.